I want to first apologize to those who were here this past Shabbos at Shalosh Shudas, as a lot of what I'm going to say now is going to be somewhat of a repetition for you, but I think it bears repeating nonetheless, and especially for those of us who were not a downstairs Shabbos Shalosh Shudas here in Shul. And that is that I think there's a very, very important lesson to be taken from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara there tells us, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancheirev Gog U'Magog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to declare Chizkiyahu HaMelech as the Mashiach, and the war that had been waged with Sancheirev would be the war of Gog and Magog. And the Midas Hadin, the Gemara tells us, responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying, Ribono Shel Olam, David Melech Yisrael said so many shiros v'tishbachos, and he wasn't designated as Mashiach. And Chizkiyahu shel sisolo kol hanisim halalu, Chizkiyahu, who you performed so many miracles for, these miracles, v'lo amar shira lefanecha, and he didn't sing shira, taseo Mashiach, he should be Mashiach, lekach nistatem, so the issue was closed. The Gemara is referring to the story described in Sefer Melachim Beis, in Perek Yutes. The Navi there tells us how Sancheirev, back in Perek Yurches, we are told that Sancheirev had seized and conquered many fortified cities in the land of Yehuda. This was already after Shalmaneser of Ashur had already conquered Shomron and had exiled the 10 tribes from the Shomron region of Eretz Yisrael. And now Chizkiyahu has raided and has attacked and has conquered fortified cities in Yehuda. Navi tells us that Chizkiyahu paid off Sancheirev Melech Ashur with a huge sum of gold and silver. He emptied out the royal treasury, emptied out the Beis HaMikdash of all the gold and silver. He took the doors of the Heichal themselves and gave it to Sancheirev to try and appease him. And it was to no avail because ultimately Sancheirev laid siege to Yerushalayim itself. And the Navi then tells us miraculously, this is in Perek Yutes, Melachim Beis, the Navi tells us that overnight, after Yeshayahu had informed Chizkiyahu that the Melech Asher will not enter the city, he will not fire any arrows there, overnight, the Navi tells us, Amalech Hashem strikes the king, the camp of Ashur. 185,000 soldiers are found dead the next morning. And Sancheirev flees in retreat. And the Gemara tells us that after all those nisim, Chizkiyahu did not sing Shira, hence he was not declared Mashiach. Mesfas Emes in Parshas B'Shalach quotes Chiddush Yerim, who says that of course Chizkiyahu recognized this was all Yad Hashem, but to Chizkiyahu it was so pashut that it was Yad Hashem that he wasn't nispael al yedei hanes. He wasn't impacted. He wasn't amazed by it. And that was the problem that stood in the way of Chizkiyahu becoming Melech HaMashiach. What I think you see from the Gemara is that it's not just enough to acknowledge intellectually Yad Hashem. You have to be amazed by it. You have to be mispoiled from it. When there's a nes niglam in Hashemayim, you have to be impacted. You have to be wowed and amazed by it. It only happens when you think about it, review it, take it to heart again and again and again. And as I mentioned over the course of the number of shiurim, just simply the mere fact that the Ramban writes in 1267 that he arrived in Yerushalayim and found only two Jews in all of Yerushalayim. The fact that Rabbi Avadya bar Tanura arrives in Yerushalayim in 1488 and writes in a letter there are only 70 Jewish families in 1488 in all of Yerushalayim. The Shlach comes to Yerushalayim in 1621 and he writes a letter back to Europe. And he says there are literally, he writes, hundreds of Spartan building large homes in Yerushalayim. This, he says, is a siman of Geula. Hundreds of Spartan building large homes in Yerushalayim, 1621, is a siman of Geula. So how can we not be amazed when now in 2024, there are close to 600,000 Jews in Yerushalayim? If the Shlach thinks a few hundred is a siman geula, what should we be thinking when there are close to 600,000 Jews living in Yerushalayim? And especially tonight and tomorrow, when we are celebrating the Nisim that brought Klal Yisrael back to Yerushalayim, it is so critical to be mispoel from the Nes. The Gemara Brachas Daf Vav Mei Beis tells us that when Eliyahu Nabi was at Har HaKarmel in his showdown with the Nevi'ah HaBaal to see whose offering would be accepted, and a fire descends from the heaven and burns Eliyahu's carbon. And the Navi tells us that Eliyahu cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. The Gemara Brachas Daf Vav Mei Beis says, why the double terminology, Aneni Hashem, Aneni? Says the Gemara, Aneni Shetayud Eish Min HaShemayim. One tefillah was that the fire should descend from heaven. Va'aneni, in a second tefillah was, Shelo Yomrim Maisek Shafim Heim. The Bnei Yisrael shouldn't dismiss it as Maisek Shafim. And you ask yourself, are you kidding me? They're going to see a fire descending from the heaven, burning up a carbon, and they're going to say, oh, it's Kishuv. It's black magic. And yet that's what Eli Nova is concerned about. They'll dismiss it, Maisek Shafim. They won't recognize it as Yad Hashem. But is that not what we are dealing with when, after so many years that we've been blessed with Yerushalayim, we perhaps fail to appreciate the Nisim and Iflos that brought us back to Yerushalayim? We read of how the superior strategy and planning and training of the Israeli Air Force was what really won the war, because they knew exactly what time to strike the Egyptian Air Force at 7:45 a.m. when the night shift has coming to an end, the dawn patrol has just landed, the next patrol hasn't taken off yet, and it's all cheshbon so perfectly. Aneni shlo yomra ma'isik shafim hein. We have to be mispah from the nes, not to view it as just derech hateva, but to attribute it to where it needs to be attributed. And just to review some of the nisim and iflos, those that we know, those that we don't know, Michael Oren in his book, 6 Days of War, writes that in truth, the Egyptians had a plan called Operation Dawn, which was a plan to attack Israel the previous week, which would have, of course, changed the entire outcome, potentially, of the war. Had Egypt launched the first wave of attack, the whole element of surprise would have been lost. At the last moment, he writes, Egyptian pilots were ready in their cockpits to take off, and Soviet pressure called it off. The last moment. And when Israel did launch their attack the morning of June 5th, Michael Oren writes that the planes, which were flying 15 to 30 meters above sea level, which itself is remarkable how careful they had to be flying so close to sea level. You get distracted one moment and you're in the water. Planes flying in absolute radio silence, sometimes some under the others, all within that very, very close distance to the water. The truth is, writes Michael Oren, that the Jordanian radar station operators picked up the flights as they were leaving Israel, and they immediately informed Amman, capital of Jordan, and Amman cabled Cairo to inform them that war had broken out. And Min HaShemayim, the Egyptians had changed their encoding frequencies the day before, hadn't informed the Jordanians of it, and they didn't get the message in time. Not Maisik Shafim, Nisim v'Niflos. Or as we mentioned, Shal Shudas, even as the jets, the Israeli jets, which had all converged on their targets throughout Sana'a and Egypt, at the very same moment, having taken off from numerous Air Force bases in Israel at staggered points in time to arrive at the very same moment at each of their targets, as they are bombing, there was virtually no anti-aircraft fire in response, because Commander-in-Chief of the Egyptian Army, Field Marshal Amr, was flying that morning and had given orders that no one should fire at any planes in the sky. But the fact that this was so unplanned for, that the Israelis would have the opportunity to take back the old city, they were desperately trying to survive. They didn't even dream of taking back the old city, so much so that both Yehuda Avner and his prime ministers and Michael Oren in his book write that when word of the incredibly successful first wave of attack reached the government Begin and Yigal Alon approached Eshkol and said, we should take back Yerushalayim. And Eshkol was like, and they quote this, says a gedank, that's an idea. Never even dreamed of that. Never even dreamed of it. It was so unplanned. Rav Benny Eisner, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, told us once that he was fighting the Six-Day War, outskirts of Yerushalayim. His commander asked his commanding officer, what do we do? They were near East Jerusalem. What do we do? And his commander was told, Atayudeya, ain't tochniot, zuz, there's no plans, just go, just drive. Or if you read in Yosef Klein HaLevi's book, Like Dreamers, how he describes the commanding officer of the paratroop brigade that took back Yerushalayim, Motagur, just telling his driver again and again, Sa, Ben Sur, Sa, Ben Sur, Sa, just drive, through Shaira Arayot, around the flaming bus that was set up as a barricade, over the potentially booby-trapped motorcycle. Just go, just keep going. Sa, Ben Sur, Sa, don't stop, just keep going. This was not planned. It was just a suddenly miraculous turn of events, a gift min Hashemayim. We need to appreciate that and to, in whatever form we deem appropriate, express our Shira. We also have to recognize that in Amlev Adad Yishkon, like now, like then, we have no allies. Michael Oren writes that the United States and the CIA very helpfully informed King Hussein of Jordan the day before the war that the Israelis are going to attack. And King Hussein right away promptly told Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt that tomorrow the Jews are going to attack. And it was miraculous, writes Michael Oren, that Nasser in his arrogance chose to ignore that warning. Such friends in Washington no one ever needs. Or as John Loftus writes in his Secret War Against the Jews, we are familiar with the fact that the Israeli Air Force attacked the USS Liberty during the Six-Day War, killing more than 30 US sailors. They claimed it was a mistaken identity. They thought it was an Egyptian ship. But as US Navy Lieutenant James Ennis Jr. writes in his book, Assault on Liberty, that is absolutely false because the Israeli pilots were flying numerous times over the ship so low, we saw their faces. How could they not have seen the large US flag on the deck? They, of course, knew it was American. They shot at us anyways. And more than 30 US sailors were killed. 100 plus were wounded. But as John Loftus writes, the reason that the Israelis attacked the USS Liberty was because they discovered that the Liberty, which was the most advanced electronic spy ship in the world at that time, was intercepting every single Israeli military communication from the Egyptian front, sending it to the British, who were mapping out electronically the location of every Israeli army unit, and then sending it off to the Egyptians. And when the U.S. declined to move the ship away from the theater of war, the Israelis had no choice but to attack, because otherwise they would have suffered tremendous casualties when they moved their forces north to Syria, and the Egyptians would have been able then to attack effectively. Once again, such friends we don't need. In Amlava Dajishkon, in Lano Amileshain, El Alavinu Shavashimayim. I conclude with just one shot of the Malbim, Tehillim Mem Ches. Shisu Libchem Lechela Pasku Armanoseha. The Malbim says, Shisu Libchem Lechela means, take a look and see, what is the protective wall surrounding the city of Yerushalayim? Pasku Armanoseha, says the Malbim, means, climb the high buildings, the towers of Yerushalayim, and see who is really standing guard over Yerushalayim. You should inform every generation of what you discover. Kizeh Elokim Elokeinu Olam Va'ed Hu Yenahagenu Amos. It's the Ribono Shel Olam who's protecting Yerushalayim. And in the words of the Malbim, V'hu Ha'omed L'Olam Va'ed, he will do so eternally.